you like trans people, great news. From March 31st to April 12th, there will be over 40 shows made by trans folks happening on live stream and video on demand and in person in Los Angeles. Check out The Joy Who Lived, a trans theater and comedy festival featuring incredible art, including a live reading written and directed by me and my wife and writing partner, Susan, of our original pilot, Robo Waitress Assassins. In a world where murder is legal, a cybernetic waitress is used to assassinate anyone the mega company known as corporate wants out of the way. But a personal catastrophe spurs her to defy her programming and expose corporate to save others like herself. A full cast live reading of a trans, queer, cyberpunk action dramedy pilot full of action, humor, and heart, and about how society controls our bodily autonomy and pits us against each other to keep us from rising up. Check it out at joywholived.com, where you can support the festival, get tickets, and learn how to get involved. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things in the entire world, Superman, and the quiet, powerful message that came with his new movie written and directed by James Gunn. Here comes Superman's Trans Affirmation. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady I was first attracted to because she legit reminded me so much of Lois Lane, Susan Bridges.
Hello!
Our returning guest is Jadzia Axelrod, author of Galaxy, the Prettiest Star, Galaxy as the World Falls Down, Hawk Girl, Once Upon a Galaxy, and Justice League Intergalactic for DC Comics, the DC Book of Pride for DK, Stories in the Sharp Wit and the Company of Women and When We Were Young anthologies, as well as comics for Tor, Quirk Books, and Epic Books. She lives in Philadelphia, where she cooks needlessly elaborate meals for her wonderful wife and delightful child. Welcome back, Jadzia.
Oh, it's great to be back. It's like I never left.
Weird. So I wanted to ask you about that DC Book of Pride, because it's this huge collection of queer characters from DC history. And how on earth did you research that and find somebody to include? And was that like a project you pitched, or did an editor bring that to you? How did that
all work? An editor... It was funny. An editor at DK came to the editors at DC and like said that they wanted to do the book. And DC is like, do you know anyone who would know this to be able to write this book? And thankfully, they asked an editor who had met me and is like, do you know who knows all about the queer characters in comic books? It's Jadzia. So they got in touch with me and we went over a list of a bunch of queer characters. They had some. I had some that I definitely wouldn't include. There's over 200 queer characters in the DC universe. And that's counting like alternate future versions and alternate realities and Elseworlds. And so there's a lot. We ended up only putting 78 or 72 in the book because of space. But like I wanted to include like 50 more and kept being told no. So that was the ones that we had to include. But I got some in there that I loved that weren't originally on the list. There are some ones that I didn't realize that was wonderful to add. There's some new characters who are brand new. I think Circuit Breaker is in there. And at the time of publication, he hadn't even been in comics yet. So that was really neat.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great book. It's a nice kind of guide to like not only some of the queer characters, but also the diversity of queer characters, because there's so many. There's heroes and villains, but also different people of different nationalities and planets. and all sorts of types of queer people and queer in different ways. I know I've had people come to me and be like, I didn't realize that there were asexual superheroes in
Yeah.
DC Comics. And I was like, yeah, there's one, and there's also a villain too. They're both in the book. I guess she's more of a gray area. But the point is, there's a lot of those characters, and so it was really great to put them all in one book. And also to be able to say, well, I've written a book on queer superheroes, so
Yeah.
that makes me an expert. But it took a lot of research. It was a very busy summer.
Yeah.
I had a lot of good friends helping me out, Zoe Tunnell and Alex Jaffe and a bunch of others who I'm blanking on now because I'm on the spot, but
Of
they're
course.
all thanked in the back of the book.
Yeah.
Anne Brennan. Yeah, so who helped me out a lot in that, because it was a lot of comics to read, and I love reading comics, so it was fun, but it was a lot of work that summer.
That's still a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though, because there's way more than I had any idea. And it's nice to know that, I mean, I guess it should be more publicly known, you know, that these queer characters do exist and they're here for you. And so a book like that is great. And the fact that a publisher came to DC and said, we want to make a book of queer superhero, that seems like kind of unbelievable to me. I don't.
That'll
Yeah.
help us pitch in the future. We should definitely read that.
Are you saying we're pitching things to DC?
I didn't say that.
No, I don't. Okay. Well, let's move on
Okay.
before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yes.
For you, what has been the most surprising thing about your transition?
I think probably the most surprising thing happened when I started is that when presenting as a man, I had a sphere of space around me that was taken as granted, and that people would give me space because of that. Not only did I present as a man, but I'm tall and wide, so it's like a big guy, and that people used to give me that space. And then when I started presenting as a woman, all of that went away,
They
and
sure
people would,
don't. Yeah.
yeah, nudge and push. And so that was something that, like, I had not expected to happen, and it absolutely did.
Yeah, it's one of those
Gender
weird,
affirming in its way.
yeah, it's euphoria, right? It's like, well, at least you see me as a woman, even though you are seeing me negatively as a woman.
Even though you
So,
just nearly knocked me over because you weren't looking, but that's fine.
yeah, I had something similar. It was like a week or two after I had first come out, and I was on a Zoom call with a guy who had been on this call with me many, many times, and he immediately took my idea and restated it as his own and kept cutting me off, and he never did that before. And I'm like, at least you see me as a lady, but you don't think well of ladies, do you? So, yeah, it's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag.
If you had any advice for someone just starting their transition, or if there was something you wish you knew going in, what would that be?
I mean, I say this to a lot of people who start their transition and confide in me at the start. And I was told this too. And they never follow this advice, and neither did I, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's important to say, which is that you can take it slow. You don't have to rush to the finish line. I think it's very easy when you start transitioning to feel like you're making up for lost time
Yep.
and to
Yeah.
move toward the end as quickly as possible and then get frustrated that things don't happen as quickly as you want them to.
Yeah.
And like I was told this, I tell this to my friends who transition, that you don't have to make up your mind right away. You can feel it out, you can take your time, you can go through it slowly, and no one ever does, but it's still advice that I give and advice I wish I'd followed.
Yeah, I mean, I found things early on in transition that I thought I was going to love, and then I didn't. You know, and it feels like you need to experiment, you need to try things out and find out who you are and what you really like and what feels right to you. And that's not always going to match up with what you had in your head when you started, you know, or before you started. So I
Yeah.
think that's important.
There's a lot of ways to be a woman. There's a lot of ways to be a man. And like, I think we get pre-transition, get like, have an idea of what
Yeah.
that person is that we're going to turn into. And sometimes that's exactly who we turn into when we transition. And sometimes it isn't. And it's okay to like explore different ideas of what being a woman and what being a man is after you transition. And that's fine. And like, to take your time and to feel everything out. And it often feels like you have to get everything right, like it's the first day of school, and it's not. You can make mistakes, you can try things and then decide that's not for you. It's okay.
I love the metaphor of the first day of school because, like, if it's a new school, you don't even know your way around. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where things are. You have to explore. And so that works really, really well. I forgot to mention this last time, but are there places that people can find you online after listening?
Oh, you don't need to find me online. It's fine.
But they'll miss your daily selfies and all those great food photos.
Well, that's true. If you want to see that, yeah, I'm on Blue Sky. It's the only social media I'm on right now. And if that tanks, I'm not doing anything else. Like, I'm done. Done.
Done moving, yeah.
I have mixed thoughts about social media, which is not what this episode is about. But to suffice to say, I've done my time. And if this in if Blue Sky crashes and burns, then that's it. Not gonna seek out anything else. But yes, you can find me there
For now.
for now. Planet X is the handle over there. You can just search for Jedzia Axelrod, it'll pop right up. And that's where you find that. I also have a website which I need to update and is on my to-do list for this month. So by the time this goes up, it should be perfect.
Perfect. Absolutely.
So I'll go ahead and say it with like, you should definitely go to my website because I have fixed it up by now.
That's right.
And that's jedziaaxelrod.com. And that'll have information about all my books and also links to the newsletter that you can subscribe to and all of that. And everything will be perfect.
Perfect. I love it. Yes, do it. Okay. I have been a Superman fan for my entire life, or at least as much of it as I can remember. I have lost so many memories due to dissociating my way through life with gender dysphoria, as discussed in episode 59 of this show, that I don't even know how much of my pre-transition life I don't know, you know? But through it all, Superman was there, bringing me comfort and hope and joy when little else could. It was likely my dad that spurred my love of soups, possibly because he had little Tilly convinced he was Superman. And then losing him at the incredibly young age that I did, in the way that I did, a way that Superman would have been safe from, probably caused my little heart to grab onto the character even more. For a bit more on that, listen to episode 24 on Parents Who Will Never Know the Real You, aka My Dad.
But Tilly, how does this relate to James Gunn's Superman?
I'll get there. Stick with me.
All
Bless you
right.
for playing along. That the character himself has to deal with the loss of his own parents probably just buried him in my heart that much deeper. There is no rooting him out. He is there to stay. As I grew into adulthood, the character became even more important to me because of what he represents. He believes in the goodness of others. He's kind. He's a charming dork, and he truly cares about people. That is his greatest superpower. Sure, he can fly and carry buildings and is invulnerable and has bzew, bzew laser eyes and freeze breath and X-ray vision and so much more. But even still, his unbreakable belief in hope and compassion and that people can change for the better if they want to, that is my entire heart on a platter. And that is the exact same reason that I love Star Trek, by the way. Listen to A Trans Rewedding in episode 72 of this podcast for more on that.
But Tilly, this isn't about Starfleet. You're supposed to be talking about Superman.
You're the best.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you brought up his kindness, though, because that is, I think, something that was really central to me when I wrote him in
Yeah.
Galaxy as the World Falls Down. Like, that element was what I really wanted to zero in on.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the book where Galaxy takes him to task for things that he said, which out without like spoiling
Yes.
anything. And
Yes.
like his response to that is something that I really wanted to include and be like that he would not double down and be like, no, I didn't say anything wrong.
Exactly.
Or
Yeah.
even like profusely apologize in like the, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. But to be considerate and be like, let me think about why I said this and why I thought this way I did. And
Yeah.
to then apologize from a much more meaningful place was, I think, very important and very Superman to
It
me.
is. Yes. He genuinely cares. And so, like, if he did accidentally or unintentionally do something wrong, he's going to want to know why and he's going to work to fix it. And that's like the most beautiful thing about him. I love that moment in the book so, so much. So I'm glad that you mentioned it here. In the essay version of The Past and Why It Haunts Us, which you can read at
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
You can see a little Superman truck that is one of the only surviving pieces of my childhood, a happy little thing that I have no bad memories associated with, which, given my childhood, is something of a miracle. Like my fandom, it's been with me for my whole life.
Okay, but Tilly, this still doesn't relate to James Gunn's Superman.
I'm getting there. Just trust me. You need context. It was only in recording the podcast episode for The Past and Why It Haunts Us, which was episode 2 of this show, where Susan here hit upon another reason I likely love Superman, his secret identity. Everyone thinks he's a man, but in reality, he is not like other people and is treated differently because of it. How this never occurred to me, especially given how introspective I am and all the work I've done in writing over 250 weekly Trans Tuesdays, is fairly astonishing to me. I guess he'd been with me so long, I just never thought to examine him any closer.
And this is kind of my hobby horse, so I'm so glad that you fell into my trap here and invited me along. Because I do think that superheroes are a very queer genre.
Yeah.
In that the secret identity element, where you have one life that's aggressively normal so that no one suspects anything.
Yeah.
And another life that's brightly colored and fantastic and dangerous and sexy and involves really intense relationships with other people that you cannot talk about in your secret identity life.
Yeah.
Is very queer. And it's something that I'm not alone in bringing this up, but it is something I've always loved and resonated with about superheroes, is that sort of just extremely queer dynamic baked into the medium itself, whether it was intended there or not.
Yeah, it makes me kind of sad that, like, in a lot of ways, the sort of secret identity has sort of fallen out of fashion, I think, in a lot of ways, where there's always stories about the secret identity is revealed and they just don't have it anymore. And I'm like, oh, come on, though. It's so great in so many ways for all of us queers. But yeah.
Well, that's part of the reason why Galaxy doesn't have a secret identity, is because the queerness is text. It doesn't have to be subtext.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Supes varies a lot based on who is writing, drawing, editing, or directing his comics, movies, books, etc. Different eras of the comics have wildly different interpretations, but even if you're not familiar with Superman comics, look at his recent mass media appearances on screen. There's Zack Snyder's Man of Steel and its follow-ups, a grittier, more grounded, quote-unquote, adult take. The CW show Superman and Lois, a family drama that's about him as a father and husband as much or even more than it is about superheroes. And then James Gunn's recent reboot film, Superman, bright, vibrant, and maybe the most comic booky comic book movie ever made. See, I finally mentioned Gunn's movie, Jadzia. I am.
You did it! I'm so glad.
I'm not going to debate the merits of any of those interpretations. I'm merely trying to illustrate how different the character can be based on who is telling the story. Each of them has things I love, each of them has things I don't. No Superman adaptation is ever going to be perfect for me because I have my own ideas of what that would be. And that's not to say that any of them are quote-unquote bad. I just have my own preferences for parts of his mythos and how I like to see them portrayed. And I mention all of that only to say that sometimes Supes is looked up to, but he's also often feared or vilified because of who he is. Lex Luthor, a powerful billionaire and Supes' greatest adversary, does exactly this in Gunn's film, which sure does draw targeted comparisons to a certain musky billionaire in the real world. But in nearly every version, Supes has to hide part of who he is from the world. Most often, for the past 40 years or so, it is Clark who's the real person. Superman is just what he does. When he's alone with Lois, or his friends, or his parents, that's the real person. Which is not to say that Superman is a facade, but it's a way he's different that he has to hide from most of the world.
It's very interesting in that way, because it is something that has changed over the years and over the decades of the presentation of Superman, like which one is the real person, which one is the act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really, part of me, I didn't get to write Clark Kent in Galaxy, so I can't say for this for certain, but I do think there's something like in the modern interpretation of him, like bits and pieces of both. Like,
yeah,
Clark is not the full identity and Superman is not the full identity, but they're both part and parcel of the same one. But that, again, not always the case. And certainly very recently, and I think a lot of this has to do with like this 70s Superman movie with
Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
It was the best and like so indelible. in that role and kind of creates like a Clark Kent that's a cartoon and a Clark Kent that's real that he shows to Lois and a Superman that's kind of a cartoon. And like there's almost three identities in that one. And then the cartoony Clark Kent kind of fell away and we were left with sort of the other two that became kind of lodged in the collective consciousness in that way. So yeah, I think you're putting it as like the past 40 years is spot on.
And I feel like it's a little bit like a trans person who has to go boy mode or girl mode, which we discussed in episode 74, so that cis bigots will leave us alone. It's like a trans person having to stay closeted because their friends and family might not accept them, or might kick them out of their homes, or might react with violence. The parallels are many. See Coming Out as Trans in episode 130 for more on the nuances of all of that. When I saw Gunn's Superman, it was the first time I was going to experience a new movie about my favorite characters, Clark and Lois. They are a pair for good reason. As the real me, with every other version, when I was first introduced to them, it was prior to my coming out as trans and living my truth. I knew how much the character meant to me because of who he is. I knew how tied he was to all the pain that I will always feel over losing my dad. And I knew how much I not only identified with the way he leads with kindness and compassion, but how much his having to hide part of himself from the world resonated with me as a trans woman who had to hide her truth and her femininity from the world for most of her life, because whenever even a hint of it displayed, I was punished for it. All of which brings us to Gunn's Superman and the point of this essay. See, we're here. I wouldn't lie to you.
Never doubted it for a moment.
Thank you for your support. Before we get into how this film impacted me, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, your first impressions of the film. Did you like it? Did it feel like
Oh, I loved
Superman to
it. I saw
you?
it twice in the theaters. It was a lot of fun. It's a really interesting take on Superman, and I don't think anyone was expecting, and certainly I wasn't expecting, like this very specific take of a very specific time in Superman's life. I think Gunn does something very clever, which puts by putting Superman not at the start of his career, but not necessarily in a more established place either. He's like been around for a few years, but the identity of Superman is still something that's in flux and still something he's working out and balancing those two identities between who Clark Kent is and who Superman is. The whole thing with him interviewing himself, which I thought was hilarious, like still hasn't had that separation. And it's the start of the movie is not Superman becoming a superhero. The start of the movie is the reason it takes place when it does is because that's when Lois Lane decides to enter Superman's world and starts taking part in not just the Clark Kent side of his identity, but the Superman side of his identity. And that's why the story starts when it does and doesn't start earlier, doesn't start later. And I thought that was a wild idea. And it works. It absolutely works to kind of be the like, this is when the story that you know, which is Superman and Lois Lane are in love, starts in earnest and she embraces all of who he is. And in order to do that, we have to see a more vulnerable Superman than we're used to seeing, which was really interesting and fascinating. So I love that. And I loved this no bones about it. This is a world where superheroes exist kind of thing. And utilizing that as a contrast to show how Superman is different, that he's not different just because he has superpowers. He's different for other reasons. And that contrasting him with Green Lantern and Mr. Terrific and Hawk Girl. Love to see Hawk Girl on screen. That was wild. I don't know if they'll ever make a Galaxy movie, but it was wild to have written Hawk Girl and then to see her up on the screen there.
That's like one step away.
Yeah, it was, and like the movie Hawk Girl is of course her own thing in the same way that the movie Superman is his own thing. But like there's enough overlap and James Gunn did post on his Instagram a picture of his comic book collection, and he did have Hawk Girl in it. So, like, he owns the books, even if he hasn't read them. But I'm assuming he's read them because people owning books that they haven't read, that doesn't make any sense at all. I certainly can't speak
No
to
one does
that.
that,
But James
no.
Gunn still finds time to read Hawk Girl, and that influenced his writing and casting of the role. But anyway, all of this is to say there were some really interesting ideas. I'm a huge fan of James Gunn. I've liked almost all of his movies, even going back to Romeo and Juliet. And I was in the bag for this from the start, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Yeah, before I go further in with my thoughts, I did want to say that I love that it felt like it embraced comic books in a way a lot of comic book movies seem afraid to do. Like, we have to be more
Yeah.
real or quote unquote cooler than this. Was like, no, this is some goofy comic shit. And it was
Yeah.
wonderful. Yeah.
Because I really do think stuff like Green Lantern, like Guy Gardner's haircut and putting the
Yes.
underwear on the outside of, and like having a superpowered dog, and like all of that stuff, and is like not a barrier for entry. That's part of why you go in.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
do feel strongly about that. And like, we've had so many comic book movies that are embarrassed by the
Yeah.
material, and to see something made by someone who unabashedly loves it was such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And my other favorite thing that I think the part where I really fell in love with the movie is that, surprisingly, because you don't even get scenes like this in most movies, a long argument between Clark and Lois, where it's a thing that you say a lot about Star Trek, is that was adults who care about each other having a disagreement. They were never
Yes.
disrespectful. They were never cruel. They argued like adults who care about each other. And that meant so much to me, to have it not fall into those tropes where, they start insulting each other. And, I just it that moment is what where I really fell in love with it.
Those are the best
And they're
arguments.
not wrong. That's the
Yeah,
beauty
is
of
that
it. Like,
not
neither
wrong?
of them are
Neither of them
wrong.
is wrong.
They're
Yeah.
in a different perspective because she has
Right.
this distance of being like, that what happens out there doesn't touch me, so I can be critical and I can
Yeah.
have that distance. And he is like, it all of it touches me. It can't not touch me. I
Yeah.
can't get a critical distance, and I won't. I refuse. Like, people are going to die if I unless I do something.
Yeah.
And that was really, really nice to see.
That's my guy. I watched the movie at the official DC Comics screening on the Warner Brothers lot. I teared up like I do every time I see the big guy on screen, and it knocked me over like I was hit by a Kryptonian flying at Mach 5 when we got to the scene with Clark's parents, specifically when he's sitting on the stoop with Jonathan, who says this: "Parents aren't for telling their children who they're supposed to be. We're here to give y'all tools to help make fools of yourselves all on your own. Your choices, Clark, your actions, that's what makes you who you are. Tell you something, son, I couldn't be more proud of you." And let me just hit you with part of that one more time. Parents aren't for telling their children who they're supposed to be.
Who would have thought we would have gotten a Superman movie about gentle parenting?
Right?
Like that would be the crux of it. That it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I love the casting of John and Martha Kent. It's really fascinating to contrast that with the 70s film, which we brought up, and to
Yeah.
how the idea of who is in the heartland, like what is a Midwest person like, and like who that is in 2025 is different than who that is in 1939, and is
Yeah.
different than who that is in 1977. And like, to have like this couple who makes me think of my family. Like, I grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, and my family is all over Virginia. And like, I've not Kansas, but like, there are those types
Yeah.
who are this salt of the earth people for sure, but in a different way than I think we're used to seeing. And to sort of have that, and like, was really wonderful. And to have those people who felt so authentic then say this, and to be so
Right.
gentle, and to have that attitude about parenting was wonderful,
Yeah.
especially after Man of Steel, which takes the exact opposite approach.
Right. It does. Yeah. As a kid who was trans but didn't know it, and was constantly told I was a boy, had to be a boy, had to act like a boy, stop putting that bow in your hair, that's not what boys do, that line scooped out my entire heart and showed it to me. In the comics, Superman has interacted with trans characters multiple times, though I'm not sure he ever has in live action. I cannot remember if he and Dreamer ever met on Supergirl or during the CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths adaptation.
I don't believe he did.
No, but
I
he
don't.
does appear in Galaxy as the
He
World Goes
does. He's a
Down.
big part of Galaxy becoming a superhero, and that was really important to me.
Yeah.
So he's like a mentor of Galaxy's superhero evolution in a way, and presents a very concise theory of superheroing
Yeah.
that I love, where spoilers, he says it can't be about who you're fighting, it has to be about who you're saving.
Yes.
And that, I think,
It's beautiful.
thank you, made it up myself.
That's what
But
writers
it's,
do.
yeah, and that's, I think, not only like the key of superheroing, but also the key of like the Superman style of superheroing.
Yeah.
And that the focus is always on how do I save these people? It's not like what happens to Lex Luthor or Brainiac or Titania or whoever matters less than what matters to the people who are currently in danger. And that is the focus, and that has to be the focus.
Yeah.
And not every superhero has that philosophy for various reasons. And I really like what Superman does.
Did it feel like momentous or special that you got to put words in his mouth
It
and
was so
write for him?
weird. The first time I did it, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it
Yeah.
that I was just writing out Superman and then I got to put words in his mouth. And then when I saw Rise art of Superman,
Yeah.
and then I couldn't believe it because there was Superman standing next to Galaxy. And like I had imagined that, but like to see it. And then when Jody did the lettering and put the
Yeah.
balloons in, so now he was literally saying everything that I had written. And I was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. And it's just, and I still can't believe it. And I probably won't believe it until I don't know if I'll ever believe it, but it was just, it was a dream come true. It was really wonderful. It's, you know, those, some characters are iconic for a reason. And like part
Yeah.
of that is Superman came first, but also because like the whole idea of what a superhero is supposed to be comes from that character.
Yeah.
And like, to add to that mythos and to like borrow some of that mythos for my character was just really, it was really wonderful. And we very purposefully didn't put any of the DC universe in Galaxy the Prettiest Star to have it stand on its own.
Yeah.
And so then to go into the deep end with As the World Falls Down, we put it having most of it happen in Metropolis and having Superman there as like an actual presence and character was everything I dreamed of, and to be able to do that and have him hang out with somebody that I made up and care about her was
Yeah.
just really nice.
Yeah. That's amazing. Gosh, I wonder what it would be like if I got to write him. Well, who can say? Certainly not
Who
me in
can say?
2027. Ahem.
You really want to get in trouble.
Well, I've never seen, heard, or felt that kind of trans affirmation in Superman media directly on screen before. I'm not sure it had ever happened since the character's first live action appearance when Kirk Allen played him in 1948. And that is a long time to go without, though technically we're still without because this line wasn't directly about trans people, was it? Or was it? Because the entirety of Gunn's Superman is commenting on the present state of our world without naming names. Just look at this depiction of Lex Luthor and how there's a military conflict where white oppressors invade a country of non-white people. We know what both of those things are commenting on, even though the movie doesn't state it outright. Is it impossible then to think that parents aren't for telling their kids who they're supposed to be is about the way some parents and most of our society treat trans people or trans kids? See episodes 127 and 128 on Trans Kids 1, Facts and Dangers, and Trans Kids 2, Trans Flight in the Intake Exam for more if you need it. That line would mean a ton coming from Superman, but that it came from one of the people that taught him his kindness and compassion, and it was directed at him, thus further strengthening the comparison between this beacon of good and compassion and trans people. My scooped out heart was now a puddle on the floor. It melted me all over. With this line, the movie is saying at its core, at the core of Superman himself, is the belief that we discover and decide who we are, and nobody else gets to tell us who we have to be. Even if they think we're making quote unquote fools of ourselves, their job is to support us even if they don't understand. And then they can try to understand. For more on that in a somewhat related fashion, listen to episode 71 on cis spousal and partner support. Our choices, our actions make us who we are. We're trans because we discover we are and choose to tell you. And your job as a cis person who cares about other human beings is to realize how difficult the world makes it for us to do that, even though it shouldn't have to be difficult at all, and to support us through it. I can only hope one day for more straightforward, surface-level trans representation and support from Superman, both from the character and in all his media appearances. But what we've got now, right here in front of us, is Gunn's Superman being the most trans-affirming superhero movie possibly ever. Trans people choose to be ourselves, and we put that choice into action and live authentic lives. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about this film and how it spoke to you? Idea.
One thing I really liked about it, another thing I really liked about it, because I've talked about a bunch of things I really liked about it already, but there's a nice element at the end of like how Superman doesn't do it alone.
Yeah.
Like he is the only one who can fight Ultraman for certain, but that doesn't mean that the other superheroes can't go stop the civil war brewing in a faraway nation. It doesn't mean that Lois and Jimmy can't help take down Lex Luthor in
Right.
the court of public opinion. Like Superman's strength is not that he is the most powerful superhero, but that he has this community around him. And I think that's something that other Superman movies, with their decision to have it take place not in an interconnected superhero world, but where Superman is the only one of his kind in that way, miss out on having
Yeah.
that. And like, as someone who just wrote a graphic novel about the importance of community and
Yeah.
how that can lead you to do superheroic things, it was really nice to see that element on the screen.
That is very well said.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Jedzia.
Oh, thank you for having me. Literally my pleasure. Love to talk about Superman with you.
Same.
Love to talk with you in general.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to have you back.
Also love to talk about superheroes and again, Superman.
Well, Superman is telling you, cis folks, that your choices and actions make you who you are, too. You can choose to be like Clark and treat us with kindness, compassion, and support, or you can choose to give in to propaganda and hate and uphold all the systems that oppress us. Those are your options. And Superman wants to know, who do you choose to be? Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, on Mastodon at tillybridgesandmastodon.social, and on Insta at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. Signed copies of our comics and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, are available on my coffee shop at ko-fi.com/tillybridges. If you're listening on YouTube, it's so cliche, but please like and subscribe and take a few seconds to leave a comment. Those feed the algorithm and helps the show be found by so many more people. If you're listening on other platforms, ratings and reviews help just as much, and I'd certainly appreciate them. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.